This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 16th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at road noise and how many people say it's now a form of pollution. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. The Champaign City Council has taken another step to get future unofficial St. Patrick's Day celebrations under control. Council members voted 6-3 last night to restrict the bar entry age to 21 and older under emergency circumstances. That measure would be part of the mayor's emergency powers. It also allows him to limit the hour of bar operations, the size of drinks, and to restrict hard liquor sales. Champaign's mayor, Jerry Schweihart, who is also the liquor commissioner, says the new regulation will limit the crowds inside bars and provide safer conditions.
But mainly, I think what it's going to do is it's going to be a deterrent, because you can get the word out to the communities that are coming here from other schools that they're not going to be allowed into the bars, and there's extra patrol on the apartment parties. Just take the fun away from the event.
Councilmember Tom Bruno voted against the bar entry age restriction. He says it will not help control the drinking situation because it would drive underage drinking to private parties. And Bruno says the new regulation will attract more people from out of town. He says he believes the restriction will send the message that unofficial is a big party which needs to be controlled. A restructuring plan for Urbana High School is on its way to the State Board of Education for review. Last night, the Urbana School Board approved the plan. It's required because Urbana High failed to meet No Child Left Behind standards in some student subgroups for 5 years running. Board member Cope Cumston voted for the plan only after a new administrative post for student achievement and accountability was taken out. She said prior to the meeting that there were more effective ways to spend $70,000 a year.
I believe that a lot of our students will benefit much more from direct contact and more teaching time, building relationships, you know, intervention with their academic work, then an administrator is not going to help that.
The restructuring is intended to allow teachers and staff to closely follow a student's academic progress and provide more individual attention. In other action, the Urbana School Board endorsed a countywide sales tax to fund school construction and renovation in a straw poll vote. A formal vote comes next month. Both the Urbana and Champaign school boards have now informally endorsed putting the sales tax on the November ballot as a referendum. Urbana School Board President Mark Netter says they'd like to use the revenue to build a new early childhood center and lower property taxes. Time is running out to find ways to fix the finances at the Champaign County Nursing Home. As AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, the county board examined its options at a study session last night.
Faced with a cut in state Medicaid funding and high bills for temporary contract nurses, the county board held a two-hour brainstorming session on ways for the nursing home to save or make money. The county board needs to do something by June when their short-term cash infusion to the nursing home runs out. The county can't handle another loan of that size. And Finance Committee Chairman Brendan McGinty says they have to consider their options if all their efforts to save the nursing home don't work.
I want to be in this business. I want the county to be in this business. But if we can't afford it, then we need to get out of it somehow. And we seem reluctant to want to talk about that.
But several county board members from both parties say they'll explore all the options to save the nursing home. Champaign Republican Alan Nudo says the nursing home is a vital part of the community.
I just feel like it's part of what we are and who we are. And I think we can run it as a business and have the employees be happy and have the community be happy about us.
Nudo and McGinty both want to explore a smaller county loan to the nursing home if it shows signs of financial progress. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A woman who worked as a school cafeteria employee has been charged with soliciting and having sex with a student. Sheriff's Police in Champaign County say 36-year-old Deborah Kissel worked at the school in Ludlow and had approached the boy in 2005. Police say the boy's parents recently found text messages and nude pictures of Kissel on the boy's cell phone. Illinois lawmakers who have fought Governor Rob Blagojevich's unilateral attempts to expand health care are applauding a court ruling. A Cook County judge says the governor overstepped his authority by going around the legislature. Sean Crawford has more.
Skokie House Democrat Lou Lang says Blagojevich was out of line when he raised the income eligibility levels for the family care program, even after the legislature had told him not to. Lang says the judge's decision backs him up. He says he feels sorry for people who have signed up for the insurance as they could be in limbo, and says he hopes efforts can be made to continue their health coverage.
But we cannot allow the governor's office to act as a monarch, as a king, as an emperor.
Business groups and a suburban Chicago attorney brought the suit against Blagojevich. However, the governor is taking a different view of the ruling, which let stand one health care aspect of the expansion, breast and cervical cancer screenings. Blagojevich issued a statement that says when it comes to family care, he believes many of those enrolled qualify under guidelines the judge said are required that could allow those individuals to keep coverage. The Illinois Comptroller's Office says it will continue to pay doctors' bills for the program until the court says otherwise. A hearing regarding that issue is set for next week. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn is trying to drum up quick support for a bill that would allow the public to recall state officials. A Senate committee is supposed to take up the measure today where it faces an uncertain future. The House approved the amendment last week. Yesterday, Quinn called on senators in several areas, including East Central Illinois, to pass it. Quinn also says Governor Blagojevich has supported the recall concept in the past and now needs to take charge in that area.
It's not time to delay and sniff rosebuds. It's time for the governor to be a leader here. If you really believe in recall, you've got to let the people know and the senators know that this is the only train that can get us to the destination of having a recall amendment in our Constitution.
The recall is actually seen as a not-so-subtle jab at the governor, but as the proposal arrived in the state Senate, where Blagojevich has more support, it became the focus of what could be considered the legislative equivalent of a hijacking. Chicago Democratic Senator Donnie Trotter, who is opposed to the recall, was named a sponsor in that chamber, meaning he controls the measure.
The discussions are, do we go forward with it? I know there's been some naysayers been saying that I picked up the bill just to kill it. No, we pick up bills that we don't like sometimes to make them better. I will let it get a hearing and let it fail on its merits to pass on it.
But it doesn't mean Trotter won't change the proposal, possibly expanding it so judges could also be recalled. While he won't spell out his plans, most expect he'll try to make it less palatable to lawmakers to ensure it goes down in defeat. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Whizzing tires, whining engines, and booming car stereos are just about everywhere. Those sounds are a form of pollution, and they can affect the way we feel. Kyle Norris of the Environment Report has this story.
The engineers at Chrysler are hardcore about noise. Right now they're inside a high-tech studio, and there's a car on rollers. The engineers are trying to pinpoint the noises that a driver would hear. Inside the cabin, it's pretty quiet. But outside, well, engineer Tanner Onze explains.
Outside.
Say that again?
This is how it's going to sound outside. So, see, I cannot communicate with you with this sound. So inside the car, this will be totally unacceptable.
Cars that are quiet on the inside are a huge selling point in the auto biz. But what about the sounds that a vehicle puts into the world? You know, like road noise. What are people doing about that? Not a whole lot. Story goes there used to be a federal office that dealt with noise. It was the EPA's Office of Noise Abatement and Control. But President Reagan shut that baby down in 1982, basically to save on cash. The idea was that the state and local governments could deal with noise. The noise office did a lot of good things just to help protect our ears. They had all these noise standards and regulations on the books. And the office was just a really good resource for state and local organizations, and also for people who were just having problems with road noise. But since it's been gone...
Well, a lot of the local noise control programs at the city and county level just dried up and blew away. It's hurt the noise program tremendously throughout the country.
That's Bill Bowlby. He's president of an engineering company that consults about road noise. He's also worked for state departments of transportation and for the Federal Highway Administration. He says that state departments of transportation are concerned about road noise, and that they're thinking about things like quieter tires and quieter pavements, and about not building residential areas near highways. But states are only required to do so much about road noise. For example, when states are widening or building highways and they're using federal money, which they almost always are, they're required to study road noise and to obey certain standards. But when it comes to road noise coming from an existing highway, it's totally voluntary if a state wants to deal with it. So you get a range of how different states deal with it, which they call retrofitting. Bill Bowlby says that although some states take the issue very seriously,
other states have had little interest in the idea of retrofits, usually because they're looking to spend their limited amounts of money on highway-related projects.
And the kicker about road noise is that it can seriously, seriously affect people. For people who live near noisy roads, it can make their lives miserable. Plus, it can make it hard to concentrate as a driver and to hear the things around you, like motorcycles and other sounds like sirens. Dennis Weideman is a guy who's thought a lot about all of this. He wrote his thesis about road noise. He says that road noise isn't dramatic or flashy, so it doesn't grab our attention. And road noise does not have a villain, so we're all responsible. Weideman says it can seem hopeless to people.
They know that they don't like it, but they don't know how it affects them. And if you don't know that, you just kind of get the impression that, well, it just bothers me. I'm weird. I'll let it go.
Noise experts say we need to reopen the Federal Noise Office, or something like it. And we've got to figure out how to make things quieter. This is starting to become a hot topic in the pavement industry, where different businesses are trying to one-up their competitors by making the quietest pavement. But for car companies, there's really no incentive to make cars that are quieter on the outside. And right now, there are no regulations of how quiet a car needs to be when it comes off the assembly line. Although that's not the case in Europe, where vehicle noise regulations are much more strict, and where the whole subject of road noise is taken a lot more seriously. For the Environment Report, I'm Kyle Norris.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Be a sunny but windy day across the two-state area, according to forecaster Mike Solom. Highs today between 68 and 73 around the two-state area, with a wind advisory in effect in portions of central and western Illinois from 10 o'clock this morning till 7 p.m. this evening. For tonight, look for a mostly cloudy sky in the far western part of Illinois, as well as the northwest part of the state, with a chance of scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms overnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy, lows between 45 and 50. For tomorrow, in northern and central Illinois and northwest Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous near the Mississippi River. Elsewhere, though, still partly to mostly sunny, and highs from 55 in northwest Illinois to 75 in southern Indiana. Chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon in Champaign-Urbana with a high near 70 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.